live guest tonight, a best-selling author. His new book is called The Divide, American Injustice in the Age of the Wealth Gap. Please welcome back to the program, Matt Taibbi. Hello. Young man. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, this book is excellent. It's fascinating to me. It's called
If You Say So.
Divide. Have you read it? You should read it. It's quite good. It's got a beautiful picture on it. You should read it. But it talks about, you know, we talk about the wealth gap, and there's people look at it from a taxation point or an income distribution point. You're looking at it from a legal system element, which is a surprising direction to take on it. Why that take?
Well, look, people talk about the income inequality gap all the time, but for the most part, when politicians talk about it, it's just a statistic. But you know, what I found is that there is this profound difference in the way that we prosecute crime for the very wealthy, and particularly people who are in these too big to fail evil banks that we're always talking about, and then everybody else. There's this enormous delta, and we never talk about it. And this is what I wanted to do in this book, is just talk about this. And this really grew out of my experience covering financial crime for years and years and years. You know, when I started, I didn't know anything. I couldn't even balance my own checkbook.
Mm-hmm. And not a crime.
Not a crime. No.
From what I understand.
It took me a while to understand. I tried to read all these books, The Wealth of Nations. You know, like economics textbooks. And it wasn't until I read like a little thing that was like the great con men in history it dawned on me, this is just stealing. That's all this is.
Right.
It's just stealing.
But there's a certain amount of stealing that appears to be built into the system as an acceptable vig for the good that they do, the wealth that they spread.
But that's the illusion. There is no greater good. This is just taking stuff from people. Mm-hmm. The subprime mortgage crisis, all it was banks robbing old ladies. It was the same thing. You know, you might hear about people who call up the elderly and try to sell them phony subscriptions over the telephone.
Correct.
The subprime mortgage thing was the same thing. It was phony mortgages, and they were selling it to pension funds, and they were ripping people off.
So this gets us to the great premise of the book, which is, if the old lady, if your grandmother went into a bank and ripped them off, said, give me your money, and they gave it to her, and she walked out, chances are that would carry a criminal penalty.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
But for some reason, the white collar ripoff has been decriminalized to some extent, except for fines.
Right, exactly.
And not on the individual basis, but on the larger corporate level.
Right. And this is what I was really trying to get to in the book, is that there's this really kind of scary psychological moment that we've crossed in America where we no longer think of a certain kind of offender as appropriate for jail. I mean, I had this really eye-opening...
That's such a great phrase. Man is not appropriate for jail.
I've heard that said to me, honestly. No, I mean, I was talking to a federal prosecutor, you know, a few years ago, and I said, look, these people stole $1 billion. I was talking about this bank, and I said, how are these guys not in jail? You know, how does that make any sense? And he says to me, he goes, have you been to a jail? Jails are dangerous. You know, people get stabbed in jail.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, I'm not disagreeing with you, but there's 2.5 million other people who are also in that same place, and they did a lot less than steal a couple of $1 billion.
Right.
And it's this psychological thing where I think members of a certain class, they just do not see, you know, people who run banks and who have ties and who, you know, drive Maseratis.
These are not bad people. These are good people who are just taking advantage of rules that maybe they also wrote, but still.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And it's not something that is criminal. But even when it clears into an area that is so more clearly criminal, and I think the HSBC case is the great example of this, they admitted to laundering money for narco-terrorists.
Right. $850 million. They admitted.
And they said, yes.
Yes. Oh, you got us. Yeah.
We did do that.
We did do that.
And their penalty was what?
They got a complete and total walk. It was a deferred prosecution agreement. Not one person did one day in jail. No individual had to pay any fines. There was a company fine of $1.9 billion, but which was at the time a record. And that very same day when they made that announcement, and the Justice Department was very proud of that deal.
Right.
It wasn't like, you know, we didn't get any jail time for these guys. They were like, we got $1.9 billion. Aren't we awesome?
Right.
I went down to the courts that day and asked around. I said, what's the dumbest drug case that you had today, you know, and they found a guy for me who had been caught walking in the street with a joint in his pocket, who got 47 days in Rikers. Now that's worse than anything that happened to anybody at HSBC, and they're at the top of the illegal drugs pyramid, and this guy's at the bottom, and he's doing a much more severe sentence. And that just can't be right. There's no way to look at that and have that be right.
No, and what I thought was very interesting about the book is you tie it through, this is systemic from the top, from the head legal authority in this country, Eric Holder at the Department of Justice. This is not a bug in the system. This is a feature of the system.
Right. That's exactly what it is. Eric Holder, way back in the Clinton years, when he was just a regular Justice Department official, he wrote this memo, and it's come to be known as the Holder memo. And he outlined this policy, which is called the collateral consequences policy. And what that basically means is, if you're dealing with a big company that employs a lot of people, and if you prosecute it, bad things might happen to innocent people. You can seek other remedies. You can do fines, deferred prosecution agreements. You don't have to wreck the whole thing if you're going to do that.
Sure.
That's sensible, right? I mean, you don't want to destroy a company just because a few bad apples at the company, you know, may have shredded.
Money laundered narco-terrorist money.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Or, you know, in the case of Enron, they might have shredded 2 tons of documents. But, you know, hey.
It happens,
right. Exactly.
No, it's a message that on that kid with a joint in his pocket, it says to him, go big or go home.
Right.
You gotta
right.
Stick around for a little bit. The Divide is on the bookshelves now. We'll have a little bit more with Matt Taibbi right after this on the internets, I think. Yes. We'll do it.